From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring messages by Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues a message entitled Redemption Accomplished and Applied, part of his series in the book of Joshua. The text is found in chapter 13, verses 1 and 6. Now an old man, Joshua had fulfilled his mission of conquering the major cities of the land of Canaan. His work was done, but the people had yet to possess all of the territory for themselves. In verse 6, God instructed Joshua to settle the people in the land and to divide it to them by lot. In the course of this message, Dr. Cairns is drawing a parallel between the work of Joshua and the work of our greater Joshua, the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ set out to win the blessings of God's grace for lost sinners. Then he had to ensure the settlement of those blessings upon his people. Like Joshua, the Lord Jesus had a definite purpose in view, and he accomplished what he set out to do. Referring to 1 John 4, verse 10, Dr. Cairns has been emphasizing that propitiation, satisfaction for sin, was directed to God in Christ's death on the cross. That was Christ's intention, and in that he was completely successful, just as Joshua was successful in his conquest of the Promised Land. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. First, we invite your attention to this devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Morning by Morning. This morning's text is found in Judges chapter 7 and verse 20. The sword of the Lord and of Gideon. Gideon ordered his men to do two things. Covering up a torch in an earthen pitcher, he bade them, at an appointed signal, break the pitcher and let the light shine, and then sound with the trumpet, crying, "The sword of the Lord and of Gideon! The sword of the Lord and of Gideon!" This is precisely what all Christians must do. First, you must shine. Break the pitcher which conceals your light. Throw aside the bushel which has been hiding your candle, and shine. Let your light shine before men. Let your good works be such that when men look upon you, they shall know that you have been with Jesus. Then there must be the sound, the blowing of the trumpet. There must be active exertions for the ingathering of sinners by proclaiming Christ crucified. Take the gospel to them. Carry it to their door. Put it in their way. Do not suffer them to escape it. Blow the trumpet right against their ears. Remember that the true war cry of the church is Gideon's watchword, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. God must do it. It is His own work. But we are not to be idle. Instrumentality is to be used. The sword of the Lord and of Gideon. If we only cry, "The sword of the Lord," we shall be guilty of an idle presumption. And if we shout, "The sword of Gideon," alone, we shall manifest idolatrous reliance upon an arm of flesh. We must blend the two in practical harmony. The sword of the Lord and of Gideon. We can do nothing of ourselves, but we can do everything by the help of our God. Let us therefore, in His name, determine to go out personally and serve with our flaming torch of holy example and with our trumpet tones of earnest declaration and testimony. And God shall be with us, and Midian shall be put to confusion, and the Lord of hosts shall reign forever and ever. The selection you have just heard is part of a CD entitled Our Song of Praise, featuring the piano artistry and arrangements of Joan J. Pinkston, who serves as pianist at Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. For over 40 years, Joan has taught music theory, hymn playing, and composition to thousands of Christian young people at Bob Jones University. During that time, she has sought to instill in them a Christ-centered view of sacred music. Joan's philosophy of sacred music is summed up in her words, "There is really no such thing as sacred music without words. It is the Word of God that draws a Christian closer to Christ. Only when biblical thoughts are expressed in words, as with a psalm, a hymn, or a spiritual song, can any music be considered sacred. When the message of the words and the impact of the music are in harmony, the greatest communication takes place," unquote, Joan Pinkston. Our Song of Praise features 13 of Joan's arrangements of such favorite hymns as Jesus Paid It All, All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name, Be Thou My Vision. This beautiful and inspiring CD would make a wonderful Christmas gift for family or friends. Copies of Our Song of Praise may be obtained from Faith Free Presbyterian Church. The price is $15 per CD, which includes postage and handling. Simply email ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you wish, you may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Contact us today for your copy of Our Song of Praise.
Let me make this clear. When God sent His Son into the world, He had a definite purpose in view. He had a definite intention in sending Him. What is that intention? Well, there are many scriptures that spell it out, but take, for instance, 1 John chapter 4 and verse 10. Herein is love, Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Sent his Son, literally, the propitiation for our sins. Now, what is a propitiation? There's a lot of learned discussion on what a propitiation is. Most of it is beside the point. We can come very simply and very quickly to the biblical definition of propitiation. First, it is something directed toward God. Let's understand that clearly. A propitiation is a sacrifice directed toward God to satisfy his justice and thereby provide the sole basis for the justification of sinners. That is a propitiation. Now says the Apostle John, God loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins, to make a sacrifice to satisfy divine justice, to satisfy the wrath of God against all our sins, and thereby provide the ground of our justification and our acceptance with God. That was God's intention in sending Christ into the world, that he would actually, not potentially, but actually satisfy the justice of God, the law of God, put away the wrath of God and the curse of God that was against our sin, and thereby give us the ground of justification. That was God's intention in sending his Son. When the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world, he also had a very definite intention in mind. Staying in 1 John, we note the famous words of chapter 3, verse 8, "For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." That was his intention. Paul spells out the intention in different terms in Titus 2:14. He speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us. Notice the people. I told you he had definite people in mind. Now I notice the purpose. He gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. That was Christ's intention. In the famous words of Ephesians 5:25-27, the apostle spells out the intention of Christ in loving and dying for his church. He said Christ loved the church. Notice again the people he has in mind. Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Here is the purpose of the Savior in coming: to give himself for his church, to sanctify that church, to cleanse that church, to present that church in glory without sin. That is the purpose of Christ in coming into the world. He came as our prophet, our priest, and our king. Those are the three Usually they're called offices of Christ the Mediator. I'm not quite sure if that's really the best terminology. They are the three great functions of Christ in his office as Mediator. And the central one is the priestly function. It governs all the rest. What does Christ declare as the prophet? He declares his work as a priest. What does Christ do as a king? He gloriously and omnipotently, as we shall see, applies his work as a priest. The central activity of Christ the Mediator is his priestly work. And as a priest, he acted toward God on behalf of his people. It's very, very interesting to notice the words of Hebrews 5 and verse 1. And what's more, it's very, very important to understand this, for this is at the basis of the whole priestly ministry of Christ. There are many learned books and articles written to try and convince us that the work of Christ was preeminently a work directed toward man. There are learned articles written on this whole theme, especially on the theme of propitiation, to try and convince us that God did not need his justice satisfied, that there was no wrath to be put away, that all that Jesus did by becoming our propitiation and our sacrifice was to do something to us, to render us acceptable to God. But they missed the point. The point of the scripture truth is that Christ cannot render us acceptable to God unless, first of all, he acts toward God to deal with offended justice. Now, that's not my doctrine. It is my doctrine, but I'm saying it's not mine in the sense that I originated that. It's not peculiar to me. It's not peculiar to Presbyterians or to Protestants. It's the apostolic doctrine. Paul says in Hebrews 5 verse 1, every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God. Notice this. I'm not really going to preach on this text, but I can't miss the opportunity to spell it out. The three great things about our high priest: he's taken from among men. One of the great sermons of Spurgeon in his youth in the Metropolitan or the New Park Street days was his sermon on the people's Christ. He hath exalted one out of the people. From the 89th Psalm, the people's Christ. He is taken from among men. He's bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh. He acts for men. He is the agent who does his work not on his own behalf, but on behalf of others. And the third great thing is, he does these things pertaining to God. The Greek simply is toward God. The basic aspect of the work of Christ, our priest, is something directed toward God. And unless there is a Godward aspect to Christ's work, there is no manward aspect. In other words, those who water down the gospel of the propitiatory sacrifice of Christ to satisfy divine justice are actually people who take away from needy souls the reality of gospel grace. For unless Christ acts toward God, he has nothing to give to men. But bless God, as our priest, he has acted toward God. He has satisfied God. Listen, his intention in dying was that by my death, by my bloodshedding, as I appear as the agent for other people on their behalf, I will fully satisfy God and leave nothing in His justice that would condemn them. I leave nothing to condemn them. That was His intention. Second, therefore, let me note this, that the Lord Jesus Christ accomplished all that He intended to accomplish. Let's go back to our first Joshua and see the picture of this. Joshua was utterly successful in accomplishing his aim. First of all, he won for Israel the title to the entire land. He won it for them. Joshua did not die a defeated man. He did not die a frustrated man. No, no. He died the successful conqueror. Joshua accomplished what he set out to accomplish. His work of warfare was a perfect success. What a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. I love to think, as I go through the Bible, I love to think of the success of the work of Christ. As I said a minute ago, I really can't see how people get any joy out of preaching that Jesus intended to do so much, but he only accomplished so much. I can't see where there's any comfort for a Christian to tell them Christ intended to bring everybody who ever lived to heaven. Of course, he doesn't succeed in that. Be comforted by it. What comfort is there for me that he'll ever succeed in bringing me to heaven if he failed in millions of other cases? You see, I don't believe in a Christ who failed in anything. I believe in a Christ who is absolutely 100% infallibly successful.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.